Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad you all are here. I have something I want to read to you. It is with a solemn spirit that I announce that one of our elders has stepped back from all activities. This past week, Elder Eddie Menendez announced family circumstances that require his undivided attention made this decision necessary. While there is no sin involved, Eddie was clear that this is what God wanted of him. All on our board are greatly saddened, for we love Eddie, and we enjoy working together with him, but we do fully support him. We ask that you do the same and pray for wisdom and guidance for Eddie and his family. I ask that you all would pray with me right now. Our Father, we understand that we are in a spiritual battle. You have made that very clear in your word. And we understand, Father, that when men and women step up to leadership, the battle intensifies. Because the evil one is brilliant. And he understands our weaknesses and where he can get to us. He can open up old wounds. He can create new ones. And sometimes you allow him to do that, and we don't know why. Father, we ask that you would watch over Eddie and his family. Give them wisdom, give them insight, and give them grace as they diligently work towards pleasing you. Father, we thank you for Eddie's courage and what he has made. He has made the decision that he does not want to make, but that he knows that he must make. We ask that you would fill his void, for Father, we love our church family. And Father, I praise you for the members on our board. They all serve selflessly. They all serve you to the benefit of the people here because we love our family. And we want to do all that you want us to do so that together we can glorify you. Lord, I pray that you would watch over my family. In our church, we deal with death. Sometimes it seems like on a weekly basis. We ask for peace. We ask for comfort. We ask for those who go on without their spouse. They didn't plan on it going this way. But we pray that you would give them that peace that transcends all understanding. As those difficult times come every single day when they miss their loved one desperately. Remind them, Father, for those who have trusted in you, that they will be reunited, that this time that they are separated is temporary. Now, Father, as we turn to your word, I ask that you would give me insight and wisdom, that you would preach through me, because you love my brothers and sisters. And so, Lord, I ask that you would bless them through your word this morning. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to imagine, and if you would, close your eyes. I'm going to read something to you that I wrote this week. And I want to take you to a place that you may not have thought too much about. I'm going to take you on just a brief trip to a place that you don't want to think about, but it's coming. I want you to imagine that you're in your last days, that you are fighting life's final battle, death. And like a dense fog at nighttime, the reality of the inevitable surrounds you. This is it. All of a sudden, nothing else matters. All those things that were so important to you for the years of your life, your accomplishments, achievements, possessions, homes, cars, opinions, your pursuits, your accomplishments, they don't seem to matter much now. What becomes clear is that you did not think it would end like this. And while your body rages, fighting for life, shutting down, strangely enough, you have a peace. a peace that seems to transcend all understanding. You recall that time when you trusted in Christ as your personal Savior. And like a warm blanket on a cold night, it surrounds you and gives you comfort. But there's something nagging, something you can't identify. And all of a sudden, it comes to you. Have I done enough? Have I done enough? You take life's final breath and close your eyes, wondering, did I do enough? You open your eyes, and you see what appears to be an angel carrying you someplace, but you know not where. And as he flies, he holds you securely. And he takes you and he sets you before someone you've never seen before, but you sense that you know them intimately well. And it is at that point you realize you're standing before the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. He looks at you for the first time. You see love personified. The reality overwhelms you. You're standing in the presence of the one who holds all power and judgment. Reflexively, you fall flat on your face. He gently lifts you to your feet. His gaze is piercing yet comforting. After a short embrace, he speaks just two words to you. Just two words. But with those words, chills like an electric shock go down your spine and up again. He simply says, "It's time." You don't ask time for what, you know what it is. Judgment day has come. And without you realizing it, your early life starts to play before you like a movie. It's not flashing, it's playing before you. Without the help of any audiovisual, you can see the earliest days of your life playing out before you. Questions flash in your mind. How is this happening? What does this mean? Why is this happening? You see things as you view your life that you hoped no one else knew about. Secret thoughts and attitudes and motives. Things done in private, too embarrassing to mention or laid bare. Oh. Tears fill your eyes. You can't watch anymore. You look away. He reaches out. He touches your chin. He lifts your eyes. And you see the day played before you that you trusted him as your personal Savior. And he looks at you and he smiles and he shows his hands and he says four words. I paid it all. But it's not over. The movie continues. All you did, whether good or bad, is played out before you since you trusted Christ. And as it plays, once again, you see all your motives and your private thoughts. All played out before you, your attitudes and your actions. But two things stand out. One is the amazing grace of God. And the other is all the opportunities that you spurned because you were distracted and consumed with the things of the world. Oh, you had good excuses and you had good reasons and nobody would argue them. But now, there's no arguing it. You wish you could go back. Oh, if I could just go back. I realize that I went to church and I did many things, but it was out of duty, not out of love. You are filled with an overwhelming sadness. But not so much for your sins, but it's how you disregarded God's grace. How could you do so little when he did so much? Now you want to give him so much, but you have nothing to offer. And it hits you like a ton of bricks. It's the missed opportunities. You can open your eyes. For those of you who have trusted Christ, this day is coming. It's not a maybe. It will come. If you have not trusted Christ, there is another judgment. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. You don't want to be there. I beg you, trust in Christ today as your Savior. If you stand before Jesus Christ at what we call the Bema Seat, That means that you will go to heaven. But some of you might be thinking, well, wait a second, Pastor, if I'm in heaven, there's no more tears. There's no shame. Your story is flawed. And it's not. Check your Bible. There's no more tears for at least 1,000 more years after this. It's not until the new heaven and the new earth. There will be 1,000 years before that, at least. There will be shame. Sure, you will get into heaven. Today is a day to prepare for eternity. My gift to you dads and to every Christian is to remind you what you already know and to encourage you that this day is coming. As your pastor, I desperately want for you to stand and hear those words that you long to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. But not all will hear them. We think that we will. We hope that we will. But I remind you, by Jesus' own words, those words will only be given to those who are faithful to do what he has asked them to do. And when you get there, you will desperately want to pass this test. The subject today is preparing for eternity. The text is 2 Timothy 2:15. I apologize for my voice. As you can tell, I've had a cold all week, and now I think it's advancing into something else. So I will try to speak clearly if I can. With your Bibles open to 2 Timothy 2:15, I want to give you a little background. This is the final letter of the Apostle Paul that he writes from the Mamertine prison in Rome. He's in a cold dungeon prison, and he knows that these are his last days. He can hear the axe hitting the wood, removing people's heads, and he knows that's where he's headed. He's headed towards execution. His words have impact, especially because they're his last words. He writes to Timothy, his spiritual son in the faith, who is pastoring the church in Ephesus that Paul founded. We see in this brief verse, hidden away in this final letter, words of instruction that if you will follow them, they will prepare you for that judgment day. The outline that I'm going to use today is from Dr. Howard Hendricks, one of my professors, who took this verse and he framed an outline in three questions. Three questions that I want you to write down today. So take out pen, pencil, paper, write these questions down. I preached from this text last year at night. And since that time, I've had those words on my desk at home, above my desk. And I have those words in my office here so that I constantly see these words. The first question is this. Is God well pleased? Look at the text. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of God. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. So many of us are drawn into people pleasing when we should be God pleasers. I understand the pressure. I'm a people pleaser myself. But I struggle with that to please God. Is God well pleased? This is a passion for a person. Write that down. Now, you ask, how could I know if God's well pleased? Well, first of all, 1 Corinthians 1:21 tells us God is pleased to save those who will believe, who trust in Christ. Have you trusted in Christ? You see, the Bible is very clear to tell us that we've all sinned and we deserve punishment, which means an eternity in a place God calls hell. You don't want to go there. And what God did is he sent Jesus Christ specifically to die for all that you've done. All your sins. He paid the price. He was buried and he was raised back up in 3 days, proving he had conquered death, sin, and Satan. And he's left you with a choice. You can pay for your own sins. That will take an eternity in hell. You don't want to do that. Or you can let Jesus pay for all your sins. If you will, go to Him today and say, God, I understand that I've done wrong. And I understand that I deserve to be punished for eternity, but right now I'm trusting in Jesus. Please save me. And He will. I'm giving you God's word. The second way you can know is you live by faith. Hebrews 11:5 says Enoch walked by faith. And God delighted in him and took him early without death. Philippians 4:18. How can I know that I'm pleasing to God? Sacrificially giving to the Lord's work pleases God. And finally, Romans 12:1. And there's more ways to please God, but Romans 12:1. A life surrendered to God. A life that trusts Him. A person that says, I delight in you, God, to do your will. Now, what does this look like, a surrendered life? The best example that I can give you is Jesus. God shows up and says two times in the New Testament, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. But we don't fully understand why He's so well pleased until we reach Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Jesus is, I picture Him standing on the threshold of heaven before He comes to earth to save us from our sins. And He says these words, I have come to do your will, O God. Do you get the connection? God delights in Jesus because Jesus delights Himself in doing the will of the Father. Don't miss that connection. What advantage would that be for you and for me? Psalm 37:4, many of you know this, says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You give God what He wants, and He will bless you. Does that mean you'll get everything? No, you won't get the things that are no good for you. But you will have a life that is fulfilling. I've recognized that even in the villages, there's many people retiring here who retired at the top of their field, but they're empty inside. They're still searching. There's no fulfillment. Not with God. Here's my challenge to you. In 2 Corinthians 5:9, what really highlighted this for me was Dr. Toussaint. Dr. Toussaint, you remember, he was here many times teaching us. He pointed to 2 Corinthians 5:9 and said, this is why I do what I do. Listen to these words. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. To be pleasing to God. And that was Dr. Toussaint's life pursuit. Listen to what comes next. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed, paid back for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And so he lived with a sobriety, a soberness, that one day he would stand before his Lord and Savior, and he wanted to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. You see, that's my challenge to each of you. Make that your commitment today. It's like living your life for an audience of one, to please just one. I remember a shirt that we got for our son. You might want to get one for yourself. When our son was a teenager, we got him a shirt that was really true for him. He said, I can only please one person at a time. Today is not your day. And tomorrow's not looking good either. If you have that kind of attitude, you're a God pleaser. It doesn't mean you don't please people, but God's first. So the first question is God well pleased? Out of that comes the next. Is the work well done? Is the work well done? It's a passion for excellence. A passion for excellence. The Apostle Paul says again, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, When we set God in first place, everything else falls into place. Don't forget that. What work, you ask? I go to church. What more does God want? A lot. You see, you like Jesus, but my question is, do you love Him? I like Patty. More importantly, I love her. And I love to please her. I get great delight out of that. It's that kind of delight that we get by pleasing God. You see, God is building His kingdom. And it's your job to get involved. You see, if you love God, you're going to love what He loves. And He's building His kingdom. He made it very clear. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go. Make disciples of all nations. Reach and teach others for me. Let them know the love of Christ. And you say, I'm no evangelist. I'm not a Bible teacher. I'm not a missionary. I can't do those things. Do you think that surprises God? He's gifted you and enabled you to do many different things. The Apostle Paul reminds us that the church is a body. There's arms and legs and hands and feet and eyes and ears. We're not all the same. We all have different functions. You may say, I like to make people smile. And take on a ministry of encouragement. If you like to make people smile, you are desperately needed. Write cards. Call people up just on a whim. You may have to pick them up off the floor if you say something nice to them. Because nobody else is doing it. Write them a note. Say a kind word. Encourage others. You may say, I like to organize things. Well, I love people who like to organize things. Frees me up from doing a lot of other things. We have a lot of organizing that needs to be done here. I like to help. There's so many things you can help. This is God's church. It's not my church. And it's not your church. It's His church. And we will all answer to Him with what we do. And this church is His mission to reach this neighborhood and across the states and across the seas for His kingdom. How will you be involved? Well, I'm too busy. I don't feel well. I don't have energy. Maybe some of that is because you've not given time to God. It's amazing that when you start to serve Him, how much He enables you to do what He wants you to do and how much fulfillment He gives you for doing it. I'm not saying you have to fulfill full time, but I am saying sometime. Give Him a sacrifice of time. You may say, I like to teach. There's opportunities to teach, either groups or one-on-one. I like to serve. We'll make you part of the board. That's what we do on the board. We serve our body, this church, through Christ. I like to work outside. There's a lot of work that needs to be done outside in this church. We're actively looking for folks. Get involved. Now, why would I be ashamed? Paul says here that you will not be a workman ashamed. I give you three. One is ignorance of God's will. God says this, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2:10. God has given you abilities and a work schedule and things to do, and He's gifted you to do them. Get involved. It's great fulfillment. The second thing we do is we work without standards. Well, whatever's good enough. After all, I don't get paid for this. It's volunteer. You'll get paid. You'll get paid in the future and now, too, with fulfillment. And the third is no sacrifice. It costs you nothing. The sacrifice of time and money God honors. When you get involved, He honors that. And so why would we be ashamed? One, we have ignorance of His will. Two, we work without standards. And three, no sacrifice. Can I give you just a few examples at the risk of embarrassing a few folks? Georgetta, you are a wonderful example of sacrificial service to the Lord. And I praise God for you every day. Billy Eubank, on a regular basis, I'm not going to mention everybody here. It would take me a long time because there's many, many wonderful sacrificial servants here. Bob Merza and David Reistrom, if you need something done, I'm telling you, call those guys. They'll get it done. Linda McPhelia, Lucy Parker, you all work tirelessly in this ministry. Larry Collins has been a joy to work alongside. If there's something that needs to be done, he'll get it done. He is quick to pass things off and train other people to bring them in. What a wonderful servant. All of these serve for free. But they'll get paid quite well. So we don't need to wonder about examples. They're here. Watch these folks. And there's many more. You know, there are times that we wonder, you know, what has God done for me lately? What if God is asking you today, what have you done for me lately? Think about that. Is the Lord well pleased? That's the first question you should ask and keep in front of you. Ask it daily. Is the work well done? And finally, is the word well used? Notice what he says to Timothy. I want you to be approved as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. What Paul was telling him to do was literally cut straight. Cut straight, Timothy. When you think of a field that's being plowed, cut straight. I'll give you a verse that you are very familiar with. The Old Testament, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, this word is used. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will make your path straight. He will cut straight your paths. When you accurately handle the Word of God in your life, you apply it to your life and He makes your paths straight. He doesn't remove all the obstacles, but He always sees you through them. And there's a peace and a tranquility in your life because God is the one that is at work. You honor Him, He honors you. Do you understand God's Word? Do you come to church prepared, saying, God, I want a word from you today. God, show me who you are. He'll answer those prayers. He's more excited about that than you are. He knows you better and loves you more than you can even imagine. Amen is right. He will answer those prayers. Are you learning? Many times we want to blame others, but I can tell you right now, I get up here and teach every week because I understand fully if God can speak through Balaam's donkey, He can teach through me. And in that confidence, my confidence is in Him, not in my skills, my education, my ability, my experience. It's in Him. And I pray desperately for you all that God would open up your hearts because I desperately want you to walk closer with Him and experience the joy that He has for you. If Jesus can teach a fisherman, an ignorant fisherman, to establish His church and organize His church, then He can teach you to be a disciple. Trust Him. It has been said, when I try, I fail. When I trust, He succeeds. It's that wonderful marriage of walking with God. The question is, how willing are you? And I beg you, turn to God. Ask Him today, God, am I pleasing to you? Show me how you want me to please you today. How do you want me to get involved? And just start getting involved and He'll steer you. One of the things I've learned is God doesn't hit a sitting target. He hits a moving target. And as you're moving and as you're trying different things in the church and trying to help out, He guides you to where you want to be. We are God's vehicle, chosen vehicle, right here to reach this neighborhood for Jesus Christ. How will you get involved? Will it be to encourage others here? Will it be to build them up? Will it be to support in another way? I want you to take these three questions and I want you to write them down. It's a very simple application. I want you to write them down. Is the Lord well pleased? Is the work well done? Is the word well used? And I would like for you to put them where you will see them daily. Will it be worth it all? It will be. I give you just an example out of my own life. It'll be 18 years in September. I had done something that I didn't think I would do. We had left our home and moved halfway across the country for me to go to seminary. My parents are great parents and they love me deeply, but I hurt them deeply. We have the only three grandkids and we moved them away. You know how much that would hurt, right? But we knew God was leading. My dad had planned to give his business that he had spent his life work on to my brother and myself. And I'd moved away from that and forfeited that. Not to mention that I used to see my parents daily because I worked with them. And they wouldn't see me because we moved away. You see, I'd hurt them. Not intentionally, but nonetheless, a lot of hurt. Well, we moved in July of 2000. In September of 2000, my mom and dad came and visited with us. And I was very concerned that I'd hurt my parents, but they were very gracious and very kind and very loving, as they always had been. It was while we were driving east on I-30 between Dallas and Mesquite. I know where I was, and I remember the time, and I've never forgotten it because of my dad's words. You know what his words were? "Son, I'm so proud of you." I was 44 years old, and he dropped me to tears just knowing that my dad was proud of me. The power of his words. Tears started streaking down my cheeks. I had to wipe them away because I couldn't see the road. They were my dad's words. How much more will Jesus' words be? "Well done, good and faithful servant." Father, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please pray with me. Father, now take your words, seal them to our hearts, for it is our delight to do your will. For you are the God who loves us more than we can imagine. You are the God who created us and understands what is truly best for us, and you long to give it to us. Father, help us to delight in you. There will be times when we disagree with what you do, and something that you allow into our life will be painful. And we'd wish that you remove it, and you may not. And you may put things into our lives we wish you would not. But Father, we trust you. We delight in you. And we long for that day when we meet you face to face. And God, I pray that everyone here would hear those words because of their faithfulness. "Well done, good and faithful servant." We entrust these things to you in the name of our Savior Jesus. And everyone said, amen.